Romans chapter 2, verse 16. So we'll start off. Romans 2, 16. Of course, we'll have to go back just a bit. Not much. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word as we prepare to study it. We pray that our hearts and minds are open to receive it, and that it might bring forth fruit as we read and believe. We pray for all those who are here this morning, that you might minister to us through your word. We pray for the members of the body who are not here, and for those who may like to be here but cannot make it. Especially this day, we pray for all the mothers on this Mother's Day, Lord, that they are mothers according to your will. And if not, that they are striving for that. Trusting you to be better mothers and wives and sisters and better body members. As we go forward, once again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're in Romans 2. And we are in the passage where God is making sure that man knows he's guilty. And we've been in 2 for a minute. And I know Johnny, he's not here yet, but he says, I'm feeling pretty bad right now, but that's good. That's, believe it or not, there's, even though God records these things for our learning, that we might learn ourselves, there's still some that come out of 2 and they still think I'm okay, that they don't, that's why they don't get saved. Because they still think that everything's okay. Or, I'm not that bad. So, we hope that's not us after we get out of 2. We got, what, maybe 12 more verses to go? 16 to 29? But it's not me. I didn't write this, so don't get mad at me for pointing out your wretchedness. Because that's me too,
and so I need our wretchedness.
And our wretchedness, and we agree with God, don't we?
Yes.
It's not really this is, as they say, preaching to the choir. I'm not arguing with God about what He says about me, because He's true. His judgment is according to truth. Verse 13, or 12, or 11. For there is no respecter with persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And we can see that even though a man would not have a written law, he can still do what the verse says, the work of the law. And the question would be, what is the work of the law? And we know that the law is written not for a righteous man. It's written that we might have the knowledge of sin. It's a confirmation of who you are, of what's in you. It's not a standard for you to try to obtain and try to work up to, although it is. You say, wait a minute. There's, when God gives the law, it's His way of setting forth His righteousness. When we get to 3, it'll the verses, it says, but now the righteousness of God,
anybody is revealed.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is revealed. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So God gives you, when Paul's writing Romans, there's the men who will be judged by the law, and there's men who will be judged without the law. And the result, it'll be the same. I was talking about you earlier. That you said I feel good and guilty now. Last week we went over, we've been over this so much, but verse 14, when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these the Gentiles, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, because they show the work of the law written where? In their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness. Do you recall some weeks ago we talked about the word conscience?
Con. Forethought.
That's provision. Conscience is with science. It's knowledge. So the Gentile, even though he doesn't have the, as we'll find out, he doesn't have a form of knowledge in the law, he still has a form of knowledge, because God has put it where? In him, in his heart, in his mind, which they work together. Is, you ever notice, well, when you read in the Old Testament, and I think we talked about this, where the scripture would say, and we talked about this last week where Louise and I were, where God hardened his heart. God hardened his heart. Here's a connection between the heart, the mind, and knowledge.
So when the heart, is that a response, not a... That God zapped him, but that hardening was a response to that knowledge.
That's what...
He's kicking against the pricks more.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what... you remember that, Louise? We were talking about that. And the way God hardened Pharaoh's heart was he just gave him his word. Mm-hmm. And man has the... He's with knowledge. And when God gives him his word, all it does is intensify that knowledge. It brightens the light. So he can't say, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, the law in Romans 7 says the law didn't make sin. Romans 7. Good morning, Luke.
Good
morning. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. I must have prophesied him up. I was I've been thinking about him for... That's a joke, by the way. I'm not. It was good to see you. That might have been breakfast. Let's start at verse 8. No, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Do you think anybody coveted before the law?
Sure.
Okay. Verse 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me or worked in me all manner of concupiscence. That's lustful living, sinful living. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The commandment, as we saw last week, that if a man could do those things, the scripture said that he could live in them. Didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become what?
Exceedingly sinful.
You say, I don't get it.
Without excuse.
He says, not just the law was written because of, we're in chapter 2, where I said you can get, like Johnny said, I feel real guilty now. That's good. But there are some men who they have to have that law to show the sin in them as not acceptable, not okay, not better than Mike. But it has to show that it's not just sinful. It's what?
Exceeding sinful.
What's exceeding?
Over and above.
You got off the hook, Lucas. It's so the law was written that what's in you might be magnified. And that's where Paul gets to 7. He can says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you believe that?
I know it.
So you would say, I agree. You should. So the commandment makes sin exceeding sinful. So even the Gentiles that have knowledge, their conscience forms as a confirmer of how good they are.
Bad.
How bad they are, right? It confirms to how bad they are. Do you know even I think we used this example last week, that tribe that killed the missionaries, where they said, don't come over here. We don't want to be evangelized. They had a system of judgment, even though it wasn't the law. They had a law, didn't they? Don't come over. If you come over, you die. That's judgment. They have some type of performance that they govern themselves by. That's just one thing. Do you know that even inside that tribe, I'm sure they have a system of right and wrong? You think so?
Sure.
Where'd that come from? It didn't come from, right. It didn't come from the written law, did it? Where'd it come from?
The law that was in their conscience.
The law that God, see, you can't get around it. God has built it in you. Even if you
fight it,
He's built it in you. You know you're wrong.
Well, look at the atheists that talk about we don't have to have God, you know, be good for goodness sake. That we see that's used in marketing campaigns in this country.
When you see like little babies and kids, you know, early on they know that they're doing something wrong, even when they haven't been told.
Even babies, it just takes development. I think there's a, to piggyback off what Blake said, when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, and when Caleb and Joshua, they were going to go, they were the only two that said the land was good. And the Lord told them that they wouldn't go in. Only two people, Caleb and Joshua, and their little ones, who had they had no knowledge of good and evil. They hadn't developed their conscience yet. They had no knowledge of good and evil. You know, a little side note here. In the beginning, when the Lord told them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he's telling them, I need you to be like the little children, my little children. That is, your knowledge, I don't want it to be on your own. I want you to get it from me. Let me rephrase that so you, is this, when he put them there, your information comes from me. What do I think? What I tell you to think. You should think what I tell you to think. So when Jesus comes, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by my conscience.
Every word that proceeded out of the mouth.
But every word that proceeded out of what?
The mouth of God.
He says, listen to me. But here comes another form of knowledge, right? I know it's not good. That's just a... And he gives them another form of knowledge. And all of a sudden... they have knowledge. They're with knowledge now. Only thing is what? The wrong knowledge. And it's not the knowledge that says, I want to do everything that you want me to do. It's the knowledge that says, I don't want to do. We call it, God calls it, sin. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, by the time Paul is writing to, all are under
sin.
That means you're under the effects of the fall. Are you following that? That's I'm saying that fast, but it was kind of like a side note, but I might as well finish it up. But that's when they're there now, the Lord, when Paul writes the Romans, he's just getting them to see what happened to you. This is why you need saving, because you're under sin. Whether you have a written law, or if you work off the law in your heart, the result is the same. You still deserve the judgment, and it's coming. Even though he said it's delayed, when are you despising the goodness and long-suffering and forbearance of God, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? In that day, when I will, verse 16, he says, back to 8, or back to 3, 2. So the Gentiles, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. The work of the law
is to lead us to Christ.
Is condemnation. You see, then, even then, without the law was written to condemn you. 2 Corinthians says it's the ministry of condemnation. It's the ministry of death. That's its function. Not to make you, it can make you holy if you can do it. But if you can't do it, which you can't, condemnation and death. You say, but if I try real hard, that's got to count for something. He said, well, now this is what Paul says. Verse 15, the Gentiles, show the work of the law written in their hearts, the condemnation principle, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. That's the normal process. That's the normal process of your conscience. That's the normal processed function of your conscience. You end up with one of these two things. You either accuse someone else or excuse yourself. Of what? Doing right? I'm doing wrong. Right. You don't accuse people of, he did right. I saw you do right. You don't accuse people of doing right, do you? You don't excuse yourself for doing good, do you? In Romans 13, when Paul talks about the governing bodies, he writes and he says that they're not a terror to good works. Wilt thou not be afraid? Then do that which is right. I'm going to read it because I didn't say that exactly. What? For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute evil upon him that doeth evil. I read that because ministers, we'll say maybe they're police. When you see the police, well, it's a synonym for the police.
Law enforcer.
The law. Law enforcer, right? They're law enforcement, right? Wilt thou not be afraid? Then do that which is right, and you won't be condemned. But if you do what's wrong, then watch out, because he beareth not the sword in vain. I like what he says. He says he's the minister of God to thee for good. Wherefore the law is good and holy and just. Well, was that which is good made death unto me? Is the policeman out there to just harass you? Well, I can't say that today. They should not be.
In theory.
They are to protect and serve, right? That just shows you how all are under sin, right? Even the ministers of God that should be for good and for protection, they don't do it. But the law was, it was written so that your sin might be exceeding sinful. That is, you say, there's only so much I'll do. I wouldn't do that. I do some things, Johnny, but I wouldn't do that. I might do this sometime, but I won't do that, Louise. You see, I got a stopping point to my sin. The law says, no, you don't. You know, when we were, when you guys probably did this too. When you're younger, you get in the altercation, you're like, okay, cross that line. And see what happens. Okay, cross that line. It keeps going back, doesn't it? That's sin. That's what sin is. You say, wow, I can't believe he did that. You just didn't have the opportunity. You say, wow, I wouldn't do that. Okay. Maybe not the exact same thing. But you don't have a limit. You think you do. You don't have a limit. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
I have to say it. You know how I know you don't have a limit?
Because you don't have.
Because I know. In myself, I don't have a limit. You tell me you have a limit. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just thought about you didn't see the old church that me and where it came from. I passed an old pastor in the situation, and we were saying the same thing. We couldn't believe that he did it.
He was in a situation. Yes. And he's right. He's right. He's in a situation.
Or circumstance.
He's in a situation. You know what the situation is? The situation is him. It's him under sin. That's the situation. As you are in under sin. A sinner is under sin, that under its control.
This man here couldn't do no wrong. He just saw him being perfect.
Yeah. And maybe he may have even presented himself as that way. But here's what you learn. When you know you, you know the next guy. Or girl.
All.
Yep, everybody. Everybody but him. Sure. Everybody but the bishop. Or everybody but the pastor. Everybody but the deacon. Everybody but mother so and so. All means
all.
All. What about what about him?
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi.
Oh, Gandhi.
I know that's
all.
What about
all?
What about him?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's God.
You see?
Yeah.
Is he a man?
Yeah.
What do you know?
He's no exception. Born an Adam.
Right. Because before he took that title, he was, before that, he was
Joe Sinner.
Before he took that title, he was a man. While he's under that title,
he's still a man.
And when he loses that title,
still a man. In Adam, born in Adam.
So, all have sinned. And I don't know him. Never seen him. But I know him. And I see him. 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. There you go. Paul says, I don't know right now what's going on inside. I don't know for sure. No. I don't know just what. I know for sure. I know what's going on. I just don't know for sure what it is, which one it is. Proper noun. I see, I know sin is working in you. I don't know which. I can't put the tag on it, Lisa. He said, what you mean? I don't know which one it is. But in that day, when God shall judge your secrets.
God will
He says, you know, think about this. And the scripture said this, for believers too. For unbelievers, they appear before the great white throne judgment. And the books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And the men were judged out of the things written in the books, according to their works, whether they were good or bad. And whosoever was not name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But he's open when the books are opened, and God begins to judge men, and he has a list of all your deeds, all your
thoughts,
all your secret deeds, not the money you've weighed around and said, look at me, I'm giving. No, he'll be examining everything when nobody was there but you. That day, that deed, where nobody's watching. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's make you think twice, don't it? And you know what? And you still do it. Knowing that, when I tell you about the exceeding sinfulness of sin, you can know that God sees everything you do, and we still do it. That's how you know you're not dealing with an amateur. I would say that's how you know. You see how powerful it is. Where you see when a man tells you, I can stop this. Job said this, Who can say that I made myself clean? Who can say that I'm pure from sin? Who can say that?
No one.
So when the Lord, when he's walking you up to 2 and 3, you have to come out on the other side totally helpless. How can you come out on the other side and say, yeah, but what about this? See, I know you guys know this. Johnny, I know you know this. So, but we're just going through the book, so I have to do it. But it helps you with the next person. When you're talking to that man who hasn't had a nice slow trip through chapter 2. You may have to walk him through chapter 2 until he finds himself. And when he does, He's ready for chapter 3. Verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and rest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. We just found out the Gentiles had a form of knowledge, and it was in their conscience. So what the Lord does is intensifies the conscience of a man with the written law. Because God knows this, as he says in Timothy, you can have your conscience seared like a hot iron. You say, what? You can't see that, but I cut my finger on a saw and it formed a callus over the cut after I got the stitches out. I could take a pen, I could poke that, I don't feel a thing. It's a callus. If you ever burn yourself, it'll cauterize that skin. And you won't feel it. Right, nurse? So
you feel it when it burns.
You feel it,
feel it when it burns.
Initially. And then afterwards.
Yeah.
It's no problem. The more you reject the word of God, it begins to begin that searing process. That's right. You begin that to get a hardened heart. And that's where you take the Jew, God took their conscience and magnified it with the law. Just quick, when you go to Matthew 5, don't go there, but the Lord shows up and he comes in with the Beatitudes. Remember that? And he would say, it is said by them of old time. When he says that, he's talking about Moses. For example, he'd say, it was said by them of old time that you shouldn't commit fornication. But I say, Johnny, if you even look at her, if you even look at her, you already done it. Wow. See, he's getting now. to the heart of the matter. That's what's in you, not what you portray.
Those secrets.
Sometimes you what?
Sometimes you're not even looking, but you see.
Sometimes. Yes. He. I like to do this, Louise. Every once in a while, I'll read and I just sit down and I just think about me. Think about me, Blake. Not how bad the other guy is. I think about me, how bad I am. All by myself, Mary. I don't need assistance. And when I get through, I just thank God for His grace, because I know I had nothing to do with it. Being righteous, that is. I know that it was imputed to me. But here's the Jew who thinks I'm not that bad. Matter of fact, I don't even think he's talking to me. When Peter was in Galatia with Paul, and he said to them, he says, well, we're not like the sinners of the Gentiles. Do you remember that verse? He said, we're not us. Galatians. So I want you to look at that. Hold your hand in Romans. Just flip over there real quick. I may need some.
Galatians, or is it Acts?
I may need some help on that, because my Galatians is, look at verse, I don't know, 13, 14. I don't have it, but what does it say?
Chapter two.
Oh, here's, I got it. I got my other Bible. I'm sorry. It's right here. That's why I brought this. It's in the teens.
Well, I mean, Paul says to Peter when he was stood into the face, he said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?
Keep going. Who are Jews by what? And not
of the Gentiles.
Now,
where are you?
That's two. I'll read that. He says, now, let me just, since I went over there, they were Paul and Peter. Paul had the revelation that there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. God gave them that revelation. God gave Peter the revelation. Two people with knowledge, Johnny. Two people with knowledge. They go and they sit down. And if we have the same knowledge, we are what? We're on one accord, right, Luke? We both believe the same thing. So we're sitting down, fellowshipping, eating, laughing, having a good time. Here comes another man who doesn't have that knowledge, that we're no different. He comes in and he says, what are you doing? Peter? Barnabas? What are you doing eating with those sinners? And they said, hey, James, it's no difference, man. We're no better than them. What are you talking about? Pull up a chair. What did he do?
No.
He withdrew himself. And Paul says, wait a minute. I thought we'd been through this. 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Dissimulation. Simulate means the same. This means not. That means you're not acting like the same. You're not acting like we're the same. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? How do the Jews live?
Under a set of restrictions to make themselves righteous.
That's right. The Jews, they were living under a performance. They call the law. Why do you compel them to live as not as do the Jews? Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And we're not going to go all through the rest of it, but he's saying, if you've already established that you can't work for it, why are you putting that performance on other people? He says, we've already decided that even we can't do it. And you know what I like is when Paul, when he said that, Paul said, we who are Jews by nature. You see, Jew is just a title. Jew is the religion. Before there were Jews, they were Israelites. That's just the nation. Before there were Israelites, they were Hebrews. That's just a race. Before they were Hebrews, what were they, Luke? Before they were Hebrews, they were heathen, right? Before they were heathen, before they were heathen, they were little atoms. Listen, nothing changes. You start with little atoms. You can tell him he's a Jew, but guess what?
Big atoms.
Well, you can start with atoms. You can tell them they're Jews, but all you have is what? You have Adamic Jews. They're sinners. You start with a sinner, you end with a sinner. There's something that has to happen in them. So they'll come and they'll say, wait a minute. We be Abraham's seed. They don't know. Abraham, our father, was a heathen.
Not a worshiper.
What made Abraham so much better? Jenny said he believed God. That's true.
Counted to him for righteousness.
He
believed God.
The scriptures in Genesis 12 said the Lord appeared unto Abram when he was. He appeared unto Abram. God made him different. You say he made him different. God gave him the title. When Abram crossed the Euphrates River from Ur, going up to Haran and down to Mamre, that's all that means. He was a Hebrew. He crossed over the river. And he ended up in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. Who's over there?
Canaanites?
When Abram left.
He left a bunch of idol work.
Who is it? A different man that's over there that left? Let me say it this way. In Detroit, they have a suburb, Southfield. Before it was, everybody wanted to move to Southfield. That's where all the well-to-do people lived. All the good people. See, not the sinners, Mike. The good people lived, didn't. So when people began to move from Detroit to Southfield, they felt like the geographical change made them better. But guess who moved out to Southfield? You did. The same darkness that was in Detroit, you can move it around, but it's still darkness. We think a geographical location is going to make you do different. They did. They thought, well, God picked them. God picked the Jews. And they were so out of touch with themselves. They says, we be Abraham's seed. We never been in bondage to any man. And the Lord says, wait a minute. He says, he that is served as sin. He that sinneth is a servant of sin.
So the DNA that
he's not talking about us.
The DNA that actually condemned them.
They didn't go back that far. That's why the Lord comes and he has to show them. He said, like you said, Jenny, where you says, we be not born of fornication. They were talking about Abraham. We know who our father is. Abraham. He says, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. You would do the works of Abraham. You would believe me. You see, he says in verse, when Paul says 17, behold, thou art called a Jew and rest in the law and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? That's a question for them. See, they had everything. They had everything God wanted. God picked those people out, separated them, made them different. Not because they were better, but he used them, he was using them as a channel. He takes the Jew and he gives him the law. As a matter of fact, all we have to do is go back to the beginning where when they first received the law. Before the stone hit the ground, you know what they did, right? They were already breaking the law when Moses was, when God was chipping it out. Joshua says, "You hear that?
Noise of war."
Moses goes up to get the law. They're going to do it. They're ready. And Joshua says, "What's that? We better get down. We need to fight." And Moses said, "No, that's not the sound of war. Those people are sinning."
They were making bets.
So he gives them the law, and they rested in it, boasted in it. They had formed, they were teachers, instructors, guides. What's missing, Luke? They were everything but
doers.
They were everything but doers. That's what Paul said. Not the hearers of the law are justified in his sight, but the doers.
And there's none that do.
I didn't give it to you to rest in it.
Or add to it.
I didn't give it to you to boast in it. I didn't give it to you to just be a teacher.
Believe in the Lord.
There was a Pharisee. He comes to Jesus by night. He says, "Good master, we know that our teacher come from God. No man can do these things." He said, "What do I do to get eternal life?" He says, "Verily I say unto you, Nicodemus, ye must be born again." He says, "You must be born from above, again, from on high." You know what that? You must have a spiritual change. And Nicodemus, being the sharp guy that he was, he says, let's see what he says. John. That's right. John chapter
3.
John chapter 3. Verse. How much time we got? Oh, we running out of time. John 3, verse 1. We'll just start at verse 1 real quickly. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could, do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then he goes on to tell him about the everlasting life, how he can get it. But he's telling Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a teacher of the law. And he's telling Nicodemus, when he says you must be born again, he says, Nicodemus, there's some internal things that have to happen to you. That you can't get from being a teacher of the law. So Nicodemus, I liken that to Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians. He says, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even babes in Christ. Says, I can't tell you those things. You can't bear them. Neither yet now are you able. So why would I talk to you, Nicodemus, about spiritual things? You asking me, can a man be born again? Can he go back into his mother's womb? We can't have that conversation. We're not even on the same page. Why would I give you the next step you're not ready for? And that's the same Nicodemus who later on, he comes again to Jesus' tomb. He'd been thinking about that thing. But they had it, and they still didn't realize that the law was not a badge, a boasting badge. It was a mirror, and they never got it. And we're going to find out next week. We're almost there, Johnny. Hang in there. One more week. We're getting there. We're going to pick up next week in chapter 2, verse 24. Sounds good? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We just pray that our understanding might be enlightened more and more as we continue to read and believe your word. We thank you again for all those here. Strengthen us according to our needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Frank, what's the verse where the Lord says about those that sit in Moses' seat today?